You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Romans, the 8th chapter. You know, I started a series on Wednesday nights, actually a couple Wednesday nights ago, about being conformed to the image of Christ, being consistent with Jesus, being like Jesus, following the pattern, the example of his life. And, of course, Jesus died for our sins and rose again and paid the price for our sins, and that can never be duplicated. I understand that. You and I can't pay for the sins of anybody. That part he did for us. But a lot of what he did as an example for us to follow. And I think that's where sometimes we tend to miss out on things. In a lot of good churches that love God, people that love the Lord, a lot of great churches, we're pro-church. Anything I say here is not against churches. I may disagree with doctrine, and we'll deal with that with the scripture, but we're for people and we're for churches. But I think in some churches, the idea that you could actually be like Jesus is almost sacrilegious. We can't do that. That was Jesus that did that. Are you with me? And you know, that is true when it comes to what he did for as a sacrifice for our sins. There's no way you could sacrifice yourself for someone's sins. There's no way you could die for someone and actually atone for their sins, because you're not sinless like Jesus was. What Jesus did in redemption, you couldn't copy and you couldn't repeat and you couldn't redo. And actually, Jesus didn't he didn't die on the cross for your sins, go to hell, rise again, sit down on the right hand of God as an example for you. He did that as a substitute for you, in your place, because you weren't worthy. But now, a la contraire, as we might say, if you want to follow him through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and see his life and watch him as he lived his life and as he ministered, everything he did ministry-wise, other than redemption, death, burial, and resurrection, everything he did ministry-wise, he did not as a substitute, but as an example for us to follow. Because he trained his disciples to go out and do the same things. And then he turned around and told the whole church to go do it in Mark 16 and Matthew 28. And then we go into the book of Acts and we see a repeat, really, of miracles, signs, wonders, people being healed and set free. Are you with me? So the idea that we could never, copy Jesus, that is our sole job, is to copy Jesus. That's why we're still here, is to copy Jesus. No, I can't copy what he did in redemption. I understand that. He did that as a substitute for us. But most of what he did as far as walking in earth was as an example or as a pattern for us to follow. He is the blueprint. He is the standard that we should live by. He is our mentor and our leader. We need leaders, we need models, we need role models and mentors, and there's no greater mentor, no greater model than Jesus Christ. Now, Romans 8. Everybody got there? You should be familiar with this, but let's read it anyway. The 29th verse says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." Woo! It is God's will. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. Doesn't mean everybody's going to accept it. But God's plan has always been that we be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He did foreknow, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Now, predestination is a plan. You know, whether you accept the plan or not, your choice. Are you with me? Some people say, well, if that's the way it's going to be. Nothing I can do about it. It's either predestined or it's not. No, it's predestined in the sense that this is what God's will is. This is what He foreordained and predestined. It's up to you to accept or receive that plan. Are you with me? And in our case, we are Christians, so we are predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, what He did, we do. He was the firstborn, not the last, not the only one, but the firstborn among many brethren. Woo! Are you out there? Can you say amen, somebody? And he goes on and says, "Moreover, whom he predestined, he also called. Whom he called, he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified." Justified, justified, never sinned. I like that. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You know, how many of you know God didn't spare his son? Bernie got it. But he delivered him up for us all, right? For all of us. Jesus was delivered up for everyone. Well, with him, if he did that, how shall he not also freely give us through him, also freely give us all things? Oh, man, that's just powerful stuff. But it all goes back to this idea, this plan, this blueprint, this manual, this purpose that we're here is to be conformed to the image of his son. Now, I'm amazed at how we'll think we can say what he said, we can preach what he preached, but we can never do what he did. You ever notice how we make those separations? As if what he did was more holy than what he said. You know, like his words are sacred, his deeds weren't. Or his deeds were sacred, excuse me, and his words weren't. I mean, we'll preach his message, we'll say what he said. Are you out there? Oh, but we can never do the work he did. You know, the Bible is just filled with us repeating his works and doing what he did. I'll give you an example. We ought to forgive as Christ forgave us. As Christ. We ought to love as Christ loved us, the scripture says. Well, you go through the rest of it. What about miracle signs? Well, we can never do that. That was Jesus that did that. Well, wait a minute. We're loving because he loved. We're forgiving because he forgave. Are you out there? And I might remind you, think about this. In John 14:12, Jesus said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and even greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father, that whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you'll ask anything in my name, I'll do it." Amen. That's a good one, isn't it? I love that. And I mean, he specifically says works there specifically to the believer. He also said, Mark 16:15-16, you know, he says, "Go into all the world, baptize them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Preach the gospel to every creature. "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues. They take up serpents, won't harm. Drink any deadly thing, won't hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Hallelujah. And of course, I believe that's taking up serpents. That's the power of the enemy. It's not taking up a literal snake. Goodness gracious. You bring a bunch of snakes in here, we kill snakes, okay? We don't take them up. That old serpent, the devil, is what Revelation 12 tells us. That old serpent, the devil, in Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy." That's symbolic of the enemy is what he's talking about. So when he says take up serpents, he's talking about overcoming the devil. Because you have no testimony in the Bible of anybody taking up a serpent. Paul did not take up a snake at the Isle of Malta. When he stuck his hand in there and a snake grabbed a hold of him, he shook it off and threw it in the fire. He didn't say, "Hey, I got a snake. Look here, y'all." He wasn't taking a serpent up. He shook that thing off. And there's not one example anywhere of people taking up snakes in the Bible. So that has to be symbolic of the devil. But the point remains that Jesus said, if you believe and are baptized, you're saved, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall. And he lists several things: speak in new tongues, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that's a copying of Jesus. That's a conforming to his image. That's a following the model, the mentor, the leader, the pattern of Jesus. We should gauge our life by the standard that God gave us. And the standard is Jesus Christ. You know, did you live your life today like Jesus would have? If you don't and didn't, repent, get back up tomorrow, hit it again. But keep asking yourself, what would he do? If he did it for you to copy it. We're predestined to be conformed to the image. That is God's purpose and plan for our life. Turn over to 1 John. Just going through the scripture here. 1 John 4, not the Gospel of John, but 1 John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, notice what it says here. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. I believe that. How about you? Jesus is the Son of God. Everything okay, y'all?
Her shadow is casting out over the sea.
Okay. You thought you were seeing wet and rain there? Okay. Okay. Me and my shadow. Okay. All right, Chris, edit all that out. No, this roof does not leak. It had better not leak. We got this thing fixed. Amen. 1 John 4:15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Ooh, hallelujah. Boy, this would separate you from a Muslim real quick. Allah is one, he has no son. I mean, that's a mantra that the Muslims, you know, say over and over. That's the problem they have with Jesus Christ. Don't you buy into the lie that Muslims think Jesus is okay. They do not think Jesus is okay. There's no dude, Brother Song, says Jesus is just all right with me. Well, he's not all right with the Muslims. They'll say, oh, he was a good man, he was a prophet. But prophets don't lie. And Jesus said he was the Son of God. And they don't believe he was the Son of God. So they're saying he was a good man, a good prophet, and a liar, all in the same breath. Are you out there? Allah is one and he has no son. They say that over and over and over. And so we say Jesus is the Son of God. We go a step further. We'll say he is God because he said he was God. But there's no question he came as God's son. And there's no question he is the Son of God. And there's no question you must confess Jesus is the Son of God to be saved. Are you with me? Some people say, well, that sounds mighty cruel. Who do you think you are saying that about the people that don't accept Jesus as Lord and Savior? I mean, you know, people might have a problem with it. Well, they may have a problem. I don't know. And I'm not saying that they're going to hell and not saved. The Bible says they're going to hell and not saved. I'm saying I believe the Bible. Are you out there? Nothing cruel about it, nothing mean about it, not trying to cut people off. In fact, anybody except Jesus can be saved. A Muslim can accept Jesus and become a Christian and be saved. A Buddhist can accept Jesus and become a Christian and be saved. And it's not a matter of what you think or I think, it's what the Scripture says. Jesus either told the truth or he was lying, and I believe he told the truth. Amen? Okay. He came and he was the Son of God, and John says, whosoever believes or confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. Ooh, hallelujah. So now, whoa, God is in me. Greater is he that's in you, he's in the world, right? I'm not God, but God is in me because I believe Jesus is the Son of God. See, you start putting all the pieces together and the puzzle starts fitting. You say, well, of course, that's why I could do what Jesus did. God's in me. Ever since I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, ever since I confessed him as the Son of God, then God came into my heart. And now he abides in me. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you're not your own, you're bought with a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. In other words, it belongs to God. My spirit belongs to God. My body belongs to God. I am what? What? Know ye not? Are you out there? That's what Paul says. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Woo! So, you know, copying Jesus and doing what he did and loving and forgiving and laying hands on the sick and all those things, living holy and all those things, we do it by the power of God in us because we're new creatures in Christ. We've been born again. Jesus was the firstborn among many brethren. And he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And in my name, these signs shall follow them that believe. I'm a believer. In my name they shall. See, I was ushered into a new kingdom and a new family when I got saved. And I became a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. I love that. So everything inside my spirit now, my spirit has been born again. I don't look much different on the outside. Things that happen in life may not be much different to me as far as the things that take place. But all things inside of me are of God. This new creation is a God thing. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. And all things are of God. Salvation is a God thing. Being born again is a God thing. And it's a thing of God to be saved. But now that we are saved, now that we are Christians, believers, new creatures, confessing Jesus, believing on Jesus, our purpose is to be conformed to His image. Our mission in life is to be Jesus people. That's our mission. You know, Brenna was talking about this lady she saw at a doctor's appointment today that would just ooze Jesus. Just every once in a while she'd go, "Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus." Right there in the doctor's office, you know, and was talking about praying and believing. And Brenda said, "Well, we'll sure pray with you. We'll believe with you and your husband and so on and so forth." But see, you could tell Jesus was in that lady. Are you with me? You could tell she belonged to Jesus. Just like, you know, if you see someone who's been drinking, we say they're under the influence. And you can tell. They used to call those alcohol spirits, you know. And because they take you over, is what it was, and that was the point. Because you drink that stuff, whoo, wow, you know, you start acting funny, you get almost possessed, as it were, under the influence of the power, and they start hollering and screaming and fighting. You say, "Oh, that's just talking," you know. Are you out there? It's that spirit. That's what, you know. There's probably more to that than we realize, but as a Christian, people should be able to tell about us being under the influence. You get a real strong dose of Jesus, it really affects the way you live. It affects the way you talk, your mannerisms, and so on and so forth. And the more you give over control, the more you drink it in. Be not drunk with wine where it's excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. You know, the more evident it is, His influence on your life. And that's where God wants us. He wants us to point to where, you know, people see Him in us. The kindness, the love, the compassion, the care, the concern, the holiness in our lives. The help that we get offered, whether it be miracles, signs, wonders, or building houses, or whatever. You know, people don't know, "Why are you doing this?" We're doing this because we're Christians and we really love you. We really care about you. We're under a mandate to help people. Are you with me? So he says this: "Whosoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God." 16th verse. "And we have known and believed that the love that God has for us, God is love, and he who abides in his love abides in God and God in him." Man, that's pretty strong. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world." Did y'all read that? Did y'all see that? Did you hear that? Yeah. As He is God, so are we. Now, I'm not God, but I'm sure supposed to copy Him, imitate Him, and pattern my life after Him. I'm sure supposed to point to Him, and everything I do in life should show Him, declare Him, honor Him, and glorify Him. What did Jesus say? He said, "I came to glorify your name." He said, "I showed them the Father. I have come to show you the Father." Over and over he said that. And so we're here to show the world Jesus. Not religion. People don't need religion. They need Jesus. Religion's hard on people. But Jesus is not. Jesus is holy. We should live holy. But Jesus is not mean. He's not redneck. Are you with me? Now, what I don't mean that he's not country. I mean, I'm country myself. But sometimes we can become redneck Christians and just mean about things. You know, that's what I mean in that sense. I'm not talking about being, you know, country or from the sticks. I'm from the sticks myself. And I kind of have a little bit of an East Texas twang when I talk. I'll have you know they happen to love it in Australia. They say, "You talk funny." I say, "Well, you talk funny to me, too." But, you know, we don't want to get, you know, to where we're just mean-spirited about Christianity. That's not what Christianity is about. Come on. And how do I know that? Because Jesus didn't do that. Are you with me? That's what wasn't the way Jesus lived. He didn't live his life cutting people off. He tried to include as many as he could that would accept him and receive him. Obviously, there's rules. I understand that. You can't accept sin. You can't. But you can accept sinners that repent. You don't hold their past against them. You don't keep bringing that up. You can't have a church that's just based on a class of society. You can't have a church of the uppity-ups or the down-and-outers. Sometimes you have a church that's proud of being down and out just as much as you have a church that's proud of being up and uppers. They'll look. There's people that have nothing that look down on people that have stuff. Just as much as there are people that have stuff look down on people that don't have stuff. Hello? And so you have to be cautious that you don't try to make a designer-friendly church. The church is not designer-friendly. The church is open to all. And the church is not a young church, and it's not an old church, and it's not a middle-class church, and it's not an upper-class church, and it's not a lower-class church. Are you with me? And the church is not about your special habits and functions and so on and so forth. We might have all kinds of classes and outreaches to all kinds of people, but the church itself is not. It's colorblind. It's hobby-blind. It's class-blind. Are you with me? It's got to be. It's got to be. We're all one in Christ. Amen? Because that's the way Jesus was. Jesus had some very up and coming people in his ministry. He had people that were very wealthy. He had people that had nothing. There was no distinction in Jesus. I mean, the people that followed him, are you kidding me? I mean, he had people that had ex-prostitutes, and he had people that had all kinds of money. He had a guy that gave him his own tomb, just rented it to him for 3 days. He didn't need it very long. But the guy had enough money, he carved out his own tomb. He was a very wealthy man, Joseph Arimathea. He had women that ministered to him as he went out and ministered with their with money. Hello. Then he had people and beggars on the side of the road that he touched and got healed and set free. I mean, there was no, Jesus didn't care. He was the same with everybody. Woo, isn't that? I mean, that to me is just wonderful. You know, we don't want to get the point to we look down on people because they don't dress like we do, they don't look like we do, they don't have the money we do, they don't have the same interest we have. Listen, our interest is Jesus. That's our interest. Don't treat anybody any different. Why? Because that's what Jesus did. And as he is, so are we in this world. Amen. Of course, the context of this is love. If you look at 1 John, the context is love. So we got Romans 8:29 saying that we're predestined to be conformed to the image of his son. This is not just an option. This is not just something, hey, it's kind of cool to be like Jesus. This is our destiny. This is our purpose. This is God's plan, is that we be like Jesus. And to not be like Jesus is to miss the point. Woo! Man. So, I'm predestined to be conformed to his image, and then as he is, so am I in this world, all of us. In Ephesians, can you say amen, somebody? Turn to Ephesians 5. Hammer this in again. I mean, it just gets gooder. Gooder and gooder, better and better. Ephesians 5, Ephesians is just an awesome book about the body of Christ, you know, who we are in Christ Jesus, hallelujah. Talks a lot about us being the body, and awesome book. But notice what it says in Ephesians 5, verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as dear children. Yeah. Woo! Man! Are y'all reading along here with me? Y'all hearing these scriptures? I mean, this is not some side doctrine. This is not something unique to International Outreach Church. This is not some quirk we have, theological quirk, you know. Oh, well, you know, you go to that church long enough, you'll hear them talking about being like God. Everybody's normal till you get to know them. They got their quirks down there at that church, too. Well, actually, this is the scripture. Are you with me? To imitate God? Well, that's what we're supposed to do. As dear children. Boy, there, see now how he ties that in. I love that. He encourages them and he connects them with God. He said, you're not just a servant. You're not just a slave. You're not just a number. You're a child of God. He is your father. Now you need to imitate him as dear children. You know, and who doesn't want to imitate their daddy when they're growing up? They want to be like their daddy. That's why it's so important to live right and do right, because those little kids are watching you. You know, they're going to copy you. They're going to do right or wrong. They're going to pick it up, and they're going to say what you say, And if you don't say the right thing, you know what? They're not going to say the right thing because they don't know. They just seeing you, and you're their daddy. See, we know that in the natural, but see, this is the way we should be with our Father. We should watch our Father. In this case, we have a perfect example, Jesus, who walked the earth in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, four Gospels that we can follow him in. We should watch him and see how he interacts with people, see what he does, how does he minister. If you're talking about ministry and serving the Lord, well, Jesus is the perfect example of that. So why don't we follow him and let's copy that. Let's imitate. Imitate. That word in the Greek is mimetai. We get the word mimic from it. You might have a translation that actually says, there are some translations that actually ape him, to copy him, to monkey him, as it were. Monkey see, monkey do. You know? But God, if God's good, then we ought to be good. If God helps people, we ought to help people. If God forgives, we ought to forgive. Isn't that right? If God overcomes sin, we ought to overcome sin. If God encourages people and sees the best in people and sees what they can be, not just what they are, then we ought to see in people what they can be, not just what they are. Are you with me? If God receives anybody from any walk of life that truly repents and comes to him, then we ought to receive anybody from any walk of life that truly repents and comes to him. Isn't that right? I mean, that's just perfect sense, logic, the logic of the Scripture. And if God is a miracle worker and he is the Lord God that healeth us, and you know, he takes away all sickness and disease from us and heals all of our sickness and all of our diseases, then you know what? We ought to pray for people to be healed too. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We ought to pray for one another that may be healed. Church should be a place of deliverance and help and healing because that's what Jesus did. That's what we do, and we're copying our Jesus. Amen. We're imitating our Father. We're mimicking our Father. In fact, if you go on with that thought, the very next verse, he says, and walk in love as Christ. Woo! Man. As Christ. There's our pattern. There's our example. Maybe we're not doing a great job of it, but we need to go back to the drawing board. We need to hit it again. We need to keep looking at the standard. We need to keep measuring off the plumb line that's laid out, God's laid out for us, and make sure our life is being built on the level and off the plumb line. Jesus always will be eternally the plumb line. Well, that's just impossible. Just give it up. No, don't give it up. Keep going back and just keep patterning your life after him. Repent if you miss it and get back on your feet and pattern your life after him again. He's the model. He's the leader. He's the role model. Good stuff. Amen? Yeah. And the world will never see Jesus until they see him in us. Yes. You know, it's been said you ought to preach in every way you can, every place you can, every all the time that you can, and if necessary, use words. Amen? Because our life should be a witness. That's what 2 Corinthians 3rd chapter says. Paul says, do I need letters of commendation from you recommending me, epistles or letters from you? He says, you are my epistles, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, known and read of all men. You and I are Bibles to the world. We are letters to the world. Of what? Of God. Of what God's will is, what his desire is, his compassion, his care, his concern. Now, obviously, we've been writing between the lines and we've been ad-libbing and we've got to quit that. We've got to follow the script. But we are, to the world, the gospel. I can't save the world, don't get me wrong. But I am a message to the world of salvation. Are you out there? I'm a message to the world of forgiveness. I am a message of what God can do with somebody. You are a message. You are a light, a reflection of him. See? And we have to make sure that we're reflecting him, that the mirror is not dirty, that it's not covered up to where we're not getting a good reflection. Sin sometimes clouds the picture. But if we'll clean it up, it's a clear picture. Amen? And one thing about a mirror, it only reflects what you're standing in front of. So you need to keep in front of the Lord. You need to spend time with the Lord. You need to spend time in the Word so that you're reflecting him. Hallelujah. Amen. And if he loved, we can love. He's our model of love. He's That's what we're supposed to do. Look at Jesus. That's what we're supposed to do. Oh, I could never do that. No, that's why he did it openly in front of everybody for all to see. And that's why it was recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, so you could do it. Not so you could stand in awe at it, but so you could pattern your life after it. See, we've talked ourselves out of this. We've gone from the standpoint of, he's God, I couldn't copy that. He's God, I couldn't imitate that. He's God, I couldn't conform to that. To where we're actually refuting the very scripture that says we are supposed to conform to that. And we're supposed to copy that. And we are supposed to imitate that. Well, now who are you going to believe? Your own logic and thinking about this thing, or the scripture that says just go out there and do it? I think we can do it. In fact, we're destined to do it. We're born to do it. It is our destiny, and it is God's plan that you and I love like he loved. I tell you, marriages will come back together. You'll have the greatest marriage you ever had if you love your wife like Christ loves the church. Like Christ loves the church. As Christ loves the church. Love your wives as Christ loves the church. See, there again. Notice he appeals to that same pattern over and over through the scripture. When he asks us to go forgive, he asks us to go love, he asks us to do over and over many things, he will appeal to this as Christ. So far from us ever copying Jesus, God uses Jesus as the example for us to copy when he tells us to do something. Woo! Y'all getting this? I'm about to get it. Hey, let's run through some scriptures real quick. We got a little bit of time here. And the rain is dissipating. Notice Romans 15:7. Romans 15. In fact, I probably ought to just quote some of these. And if you write notes, you can write them down. If you can speed dial and get there real quick, go ahead. But Romans 15:7 says this, "Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God." Man, I love that. You know, I don't like everybody. Oh, come on now. I mean, really, I love everybody. But I can't say that I just, you know, my personality, I don't, you know, my demeanor is unique and yours is unique. And sometimes we just seem to click with some people, but we don't really, you know, some people just, they get our dandruff up as it is. We're, you know, but you know what? Jesus received them. We have to receive them too.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, I'm just being real and honest here. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying that's good. I'm saying that's something I need to work on. Are you with me? But I still didn't change the pattern. Just because I don't like someone doesn't mean I just, you know, just tell them to hit the road and get on down the road. No, I have to receive people like Jesus received them. Honestly, like he received me. People don't always rub me the right way, but you know what? I don't rub people the right way either. I tell you what, we need to start getting over all that stuff. Sometimes someone gets up here and ministers and you don't like the way their hair looks and you don't receive it. Or maybe they swagger a little bit. I remember, you know, George Bush, George W., they asked him one time, says, "Why do you swagger when you walk?" And he said, "Well, in Texas, we call that walking." I mean, sometimes we cut people off. We don't receive from people because of some quirk, some personality, something we don't like, their hair, their stance, their accent, the color of their skin. We go right down the list. But see that? No. We receive people as Jesus received people. People come into this church from all different walks of life and different, you know, lifestyles, habits. I'm not, I say lifestyle. I'm not talking about sin. I'm not talking about sin. But they come here from all different walks of life, as it were. And, well, we receive people. If somebody comes in here and they're lost and they just come in here, I don't have a lot of rules at all. Let them come. Let them come on in here. Let them come a time or two. The Holy Spirit will get on them. The conviction of the Holy Ghost will get on them and they'll get saved or they probably won't come back. But we're not stopping people at the door and says, "Oh, you can't come in. Oh, you can't come in. Oh, you can't come in looking like that." Or, "Hello." You know, after a time, sure, we'll sit down if it continues, but give them a chance to, you know, see what's going on here. Hallelujah. Okay, so how should we receive one another? As Christ. as Christ. In fact, I taught a sermon one time called As Christ. And it's a powerful message when you think about it. If you go through the scriptures, it talks about do this as Christ. That is just power-packed. Because that means he's our pattern. It also means we are supposed to copy him. And it means we can copy him. And it means it's our destiny to do so. Especially if you look at those scriptures we already started with about being conformed to his image as he is solely in this world. Be ye imitators of God. As Christ loves, so you love. And here, as he received you, so you receive others. Notice this. You can just write this down. Ephesians 5:25. Husband, love your wives even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I quoted that. But how should we love our wives? As Christ loved the church. Colossians 3:13. Forbearing one another. Oh my. Oh, be patient with each other. Hallelujah. Forgiving one another. Oh, yes, Lord. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Oh, man, there it is again. There's that pattern again. I'm not off the hook. You know, I can't say, well, I know a lot of preachers, and I put up with a whole lot more than they do. Yeah, but you know what? They're not my pattern. Amen. Jesus is my pattern.
Amen.
Okay? Yeah, but I'm just as good as old so-and-so. Well, so-and-so's not your pattern. Jesus is your pattern. Okay? Well, I don't think any man ought to put up with that. Well, Jesus put up with it. He forgave those that killed him. Woo! Until God gives us another pattern, hello, I think we need to get to work. Are you with me? He hasn't given us another model, another example, another pattern. We just have one here. Even Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So he said, yeah, you can follow me as long as I'm following Christ. But if I get off, don't follow me when I get off. So ultimately, you have to keep him in view. You have to keep Jesus in view, even when you're looking at me or looking at others and, you know, that you respect and honor, and we should honor and respect one another. But it all comes down to following Jesus. Okay, so even as Christ forgave, you forgive. How about this one, 1 Peter 1:15? But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. I won't be a holy roller. Well, I'm holy and my name's on the roll. Well, I guess that makes me a holy roller. I want to be holy as he is holy. As he is holy. Oh, yeah, but you know, in this day and age, it's okay to do this and it's okay to do that. And it's, everybody does this and everybody does that. You know what? My kids used to tell me that. When they wanted to do something they knew was wrong. Well, Daddy, everybody's doing it. And I usually say, well, that's the more reason not to do it. If everybody's doing it, it's probably wrong. They thought that was some logic or reasoning to get away with it because everybody was doing it, you know. And we can tend to fall in that same trap. Well, this is what everybody's doing. This is what everybody's doing. Yeah, but, you know, he says, as he which is holy, called you as holy, be ye holy. We're not doing what everybody's doing. We're doing what he's doing. Ooh, hallelujah. You know, and I'm not talking about styles of clothes and types of music. Those are, I'm talking about love and forgiveness. And are you with me? Holiness is not the way you wear your hair. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about character, integrity, and, you know, honesty, and the language you use, the way you treat your wife and your husband, all those kinds of things. We're not talking about, you know, whether you got blue jeans on or dress slacks or you out there?
Yep.
But be ye holy as he which has called you as holy in all manner of conversation. Got time for one more? Yeah, sure you do. 1 John again. 1 John 1 verse 7, and there's several here we could go to. But what I did here, I just took things as Christ, as he, as, you know, because that's the pattern, that's the same thought. You know, I usually have one point when I preach, which is good, because some preachers never have a point at all. I mean, some people have seven points and 5 points. Brother Osteen was real big on 5 points, 7 points, 10 points, and I used to love it. It's amazing me how he does that. I have very, very, very few sermons where I have like a 5-point sermon. And when I do, I mean, it's amazing to me that I can come up with 5 points. Because normally I have 1 point, I just hammer it in the whole time, you know. But one thing for sure, you walk out here, you get the point. Because I just got 1 point. I'd use a lot of scriptures to make the same point. Copy Jesus, follow Jesus, conform to Jesus, imitate Jesus. As he is, so are we. Amen. As Christ, do the copy Jesus. He's the standard. That's the point, see. And he says in 1 John 1. Although you can write down 2:6, that's another one. 1 John 1:7 says, "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." Man, I love that. In other words, walk in revelation. If something revealed to you from the Scripture, a verse comes alive to you, you're in a service and God speaks to you, go do that. Go walk in that. See, Jesus walked in revelation. He walked in light. He walked in what he heard his Father say and what he saw his Father do. He only did what he saw his Father do. He only said what he heard his Father say. So as Jesus walked in the light, you and I need to walk in the light. Try to institute this into your life. As you're sitting here today, you're probably thinking of something maybe you need to work on in your life. Well, go home and do it. Go home, work on it. You know, I can think of an area right now I really have not been following Jesus in. Okay, walk out of here and say, I'm going to do better. God, forgive me. I repent. I'm going to do this. I'm going to walk in the light. I'm going to walk in that revelation. I never realized I could be like Jesus, that's my destiny. That's a revelation. Go walk in that now. Go love because he loved. Go forgive because he forgave. Go overcome that sin you thought you couldn't overcome. Woo! Do it. Just go walk in it. As he walked in it, you walk in it. Man, that's good stuff. Well, who he did foreknow, he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. This is our destiny. Amen? You know, you get on a road, you have a destination in mind. You're going somewhere. Hopefully, the longer you stay on, the closer you get to it. Well, our destination is to be like Jesus. And year by year, step by step, we should be getting closer and closer to him. If you ever get off the road, get back on. If you ever take a wrong turn, turn around. And let's get back on the road. Let's don't forget where we're going. Let's don't forget our destination. Let's don't forget our destiny. And all that we do, I don't care what it is. I don't care whether it's food bank. I don't care whether it's Hallelujah Night. I don't care if we're celebrating 30-year anniversary. We never need to lose sight of our purpose. When purpose is lost, abuse is inevitable. It's not about the lights and the cameras. It's not about the food. It's not about the Hallelujah Night. All that is about being like Jesus. That's our purpose. We don't ever want to lose sight of our purpose, because then you start making compromises. And then you do this and you do that. And you can't do that. You can't lose sight of your purpose. See, when purpose is lost, well, abuse is inevitable. Sad to say, a lot of churches, not, you know, I'm pro-church, you know that. But it's sad to say a lot of churches have lost their purpose. They forgot what they're about. I don't ever want to forget what I'm about. I don't want to ever forget why we're here. I don't ever want to forget what our mission is in this church. It is to show Jesus to the world, a lost, dying, suffering, sighing world who's in desperate need of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. And the only way we're going to do that is live like him. Amen? Woo! We can do it.